Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to reality NSFW coverage of the challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies. This is episode 10.
Yes. 10.
Wow. Yep. Look at me with the correct guess. Well, I'm back. Did you guys miss me?
Of course. We always miss you, Johnny.
Okay. So I don't feel like I missed the greatest of episodes. I watched. So I caught up on last week's episode yesterday in preparation for today, and then I watched last night's episode this morning. I, of course, am Johnny Fairplay from Survivor. I'm joined by Lauren Pratt and Alex Trias, and you guys have been holding down the fort pretty amazingly, I might say, so because I haven't listened to last week's episode yet because I hadn't seen the episode yet, but I did listen to the previous week, and man, you guys are kicking butt.
Thanks, Johnny. Well, the challenge is giving us a lot to talk about and also allowing us to shoot the shit as we do.
Yes. So I guess let's start off with the biggest news. The announcement of All Stars coming to Paramount Plus on November 11th. Also, Real World LA reunion series hitting Paramount Plus on November 24th. Big month of November for challenge Real World Road Rules fans of new and old. Man, are these guys doing a much better job than Survivor.
Yeah, definitely. They're pumping the content out. They obviously saw All Stars was a big hit and like goes to show they already are currently doing the casting calls and like getting ready for people to move out for season 3 of All Stars. So
I mean, smart.
They're moving.
Smart, smart, smart.
Also, we get more Beth. We get more Beth on Homecoming.
Homecoming. Yeah, I'm excited to see. So I watched a little bit of Real World New York when it first came out, you know, because it was kind of groundbreaking. And I watched it. I liked it. I didn't love it. There wasn't that. You know, I think they did a great job in the past. Like, you know, I think the casting of the Real World is much closer to what we see on today's version of Survivor versus, you know, the first 40 seasons of Survivor. You know, so I feel like they had an eclectic cast on the first season, but no one really, you know, there wasn't that person. It's just like, oh, man, that's me. You know, right. Whereas fast forward to season 2. And I mean, I it still haunts my dreams. True story with the country dude. But I saw a little bit of myself in Beth, and that is not innuendo.
Well, I mean, going past the innuendo part, like you're both icons of reality television, so it sort of like comes hand in hand, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Beth was a early reality television villain, you know, but once again, prior to what I did on Survivor, you know, it was a bad edit. I wasn't really evil. And it's like, yeah, you were, Beth. Stop it. Your OG villain status knows no bounds, and kudos on that accolade.
Yeah, just have to embrace being a villain. It's not a bad thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and someone mentioned here, Sam. Sam mentions, I'm surprised Tammy is coming on to the homecoming. Tammy looked a lot different on the commercial, right? Because
yes.
I wasn't sure who that person was.
Yeah, that's how I reacted to it.
I was like
a person.
I was like, was Tech Money on season two of The Real World? And why is Tech Money wearing a very long wig?
But we'll see him on season two of All Stars.
I approve of that casting.
Oh, amazing cast. I'm super excited for All Stars. I loved it when we watched it together for the first season. I think season two could even be better than season one with that cast.
Two of my favorite challenge people ever in Casey Cooper and Melinda Stoll. And I know both of them very well.
That's awesome.
good casting. So, yeah, let's talk last night's episode.
Yeah.
Previously on. Oh, man. Did you guys love that on Survivor last night?
I loved it. It was needed.
Evie's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you, Evie, for getting us a previously on Survivor. Otherwise, we would not have got it unless it was mentioned by by a castaway. No, we have Corey and Bettina previously on as they are conquering the lair. I'm guessing moments after, pretending moments before or during or whatever. So cool with that. They went back in time quite a bit, you know, to kind of really set you up for where we're going.
Right.
As far as the next time on the challenge, my recording cut off.
Same.
Well, number one, my recording did not record on my DVR, you know, built in through DirecTV. Like, I just got last week's again, and I'm like, okay. So then I went to MTV On Demand by way of DirecTV, and it ended halfway through the next time on. And I'm just like, what an epic fail across the board, guys.
Right. Yeah, my DVR cut off, like, I think like the last 10 seconds of the next song. But it's like, you know, we always get these like midpoint trailers.
Yeah, it's like the next half the season.
I love it.
I'm just like, someone send me this. I'm at Johnny Fairplay everywhere. If you can find a next time on the second half of Spies, Lies and Allies preview, please send it my way. I would love to see the other half of that. But
yeah, it looked amazing. I was able to see the whole thing. I think it's going to set up for an epic finish of the season because honestly, I'm really digging it. I think we got so many great cast members on this season in particular. And I think
mostly
yes, but still I'm loving the cast. And I do think that we're going to have a really good epic showdown finish, just how it's getting set up.
Yeah. Right. Like I think it made adjustments to Double Agents that made Double Agents tired. This is like between like Priscilla finally breaking up the Vet Alliance and then TJ bringing in the new rule, which we'll go over. Like they're creating more hoops and they're like self putting in a second wind for the show.
Yeah. 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 No, I was really like, I felt it was a little like the last two episodes were a little, it's just slow and plotting when I was like, I'm ready for something, you know. So, you know, last week ends with, you know, go on up to everyone else, I'm just like, cool, I'm for this. And so we'll get to that. So it starts with a replay of on the previously on a replay of Tori's overacting for airtime. What's happening? Oh my, this is, and it's just, stop it.
Where's my partner?
I get it. I mean, she's good for those shots. She knows they're going to go to her, but it's
she's
like
a production pet.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's just like, there is no way you would genuinely act like that.
So, no.
I mean, I get it. And I like Tori. So, you know, not a diss. I just, you know, we see it for what it is, Tori. Relax. We like you. So, or at least I do.
It's your co-host we don't like.
Oh. Wow. Shots fired.
The shots have been fired week after week. Hey, it's been quiet.
New episode. I have to reiterate the rivalry in order for it to continue.
Okay. Well, hey,
it's one-sided, but
yeah, I don't hear Anissa talking about it. So if you're not, who else is? So, right. we're in the house, and Corey doesn't trust anyone, and it's him against the world. And right there, that very moment, I was just like, "Where's my boy Pete?" Who does the soundtrack for the All Stars with all the old school hip hop? Because Pete would have had Tupac, Me Against the World, right there on the cue, ready to go. So disappointed. If anyone is just like, "Oh, I didn't watch the first All Stars, was it any good?" For the soundtrack alone, it is worth watching. And in addition to that, it's pretty awesome. So, but then we have, you know, Tori freaking out. What do you think's going to happen? Like, I just don't. And you have CT going, or I don't know if it's.
It was CT. Who's literally.
Yeah, well, I think it's. Oh, yeah. So it's. Well, first, Tori's just like, "Oh, my God. Like, you know, I can't believe Amber is gone." And he's just like, "Yeah, she was just good at running. Like, that was it." And you know, and then Tori's like, "She won like 4 eliminations." He's like, "Yeah, she was just good at running." Like, I'm, you know, like basically saying, like, "I don't really think any of you girls are that great." So the fact that she beat, you know, 3 of you, you know,
he's just like, I just needed her to run. I can do all the other work. Yeah. She was just a better runner.
Yes. So, but then she's like, you know, "What's going to happen? I just don't know. Like, I'm building up all this stuff for, you know, just for this airtime." And he's like, "Yeah, we're picking new partners. That's it.
CT's not there. That, like, he knows where he's at now. He's like, "I'm not making the entertaining TV. I'm here. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go out and I'm going to win." Because especially when we talk about what the change is to this season, it helps CT and Casey tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those two in particular.
It's so weird because we see both CT and Ashley basically adapting the same philosophy in that, "I'm not getting wrapped up in the fucking politics of this fucking game. I'm not getting wrapped up in the bullshit, you know, little conversations that lead to big conversations that get you on somebody's radar for no fucking reason." You know, CT's just like, "I'm going to lay here and sleep." And I think that's what Ashley was doing, but it didn't work the same way. Like, you have CT sleeping, doing nothing, approaching no one, and no one saying his name. Whereas Ashley's not doing that, and everyone's like, "Oh, what about Ashley?"
it sort of goes with what I've been saying the last few podcasts. There's a very big discrepancy on how the people on the challenge treat the dominant male winners versus the dominant female winners.
Yeah.
Like, when the guys look at CT, they're like, "I don't want to be the one who has to poke the bear." Whereas a lot of the girls are like, "We can have someone else take out Ashley." Like,
yeah, and someone else.
Yeah, someone else can
always do it. Someone else.
But, like, they're constantly thinking about that because there are less female winners usually that show up, and, like, less female winners, I believe, in general. So they're like, when you're a winner, you stick out like a sore thumb, and unless you're a CT who's just like, "Yeah, I can go in and just, like, power slam you into the dirt multiple times." Like, yeah,
and
I don't want to
do a puzzle.
And do a puzzle at the same time.
Yeah,
and CT just knows his role. He knows, "I'm here for a mission. I'm here to, like, win this thing," and that's why he wins time after time, because he knows other people don't want to necessarily go after him because they're probably going to lose to him in an elimination. So that's why he's able to get through season after season, except for the rare occasions where he does go out early.
I just wish that Ashley garnered the same amount of respect that CT does, because I feel like she should.
I feel like she does have the respect, but, like, Not in the same way. Like, they respect her as a winner, but, like, for whatever reason, they don't respect, like, her character. Because I guess it's that issue of when a couple people just constantly say, "You're a snake," the rest of the house will just adapt and say, "Oh, yeah, she's a snake," because these people are saying it.
Yeah, but even if she was a snake, look at the Ashley that we're looking at now. It's not.
It's definitely different. And I feel for Ashley. I see her social media posts, like, during the episodes. Like, I feel for her. Like, all she's trying to do is, like, I'm not trying to backstab people. I'm just trying to be me.
Yeah.
They're saying to my face they like me. Then I see these confessionals and they're like,
"Oh, those confessionals have to be crippling."
Yeah, because they just say, like, I like Ashley outside of the house, but I don't like her inside of the house. And I go, she's not really doing anything different than she probably would outside of the house. You're saying she's untrustworthy, but prove how she's being untrustworthy, because she's not. If you're in her alliance, she sticks to her alliance and she's loyal to her people.
Yeah, but like, but I feel like this entire episode was set up for Amanda going into the lair.
Yeah.
But I think the reason for that is Ashley gave them nothing to work with because she was pulling a CT and doing absolutely nothing as to not draw a target upon herself. And they're just like, well, fuck, we don't have a story here. She's not giving us a story. So let's tell the Amanda story. And then for Ashley to, you know, break down going into Lair, you know, saying, you know, I'm doing this for my friend. It's just like, well, at least we have that story to fall back on.
Well, from what I saw from Amanda and Ashley on Twitter last night was apparently, like, Priscilla told them, like, she would pick Ashley over Amanda because and we hear it in this episode. Priscilla was raised by a single mom, and she understood Amanda's position being a single mother herself. And she was like, I couldn't in good conscience put you down into the lair and try to take you out. Whereas, like, and then, like, Ashley sort of, like, came up to be like, yeah, I'll go down instead of her, because you knew Priscilla was taking a vet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, getting back to the beginning, we get some background stuff. You know, Bettina's a small-town girl living in a lonely world. Oh, no, Sweden. Sorry, I had South Detroit.
Did she take the midnight train?
There was something about a train. I don't know. All right, that's for another story, I guess. Priscilla's thank you. Priscilla's playing for her mom, and then we have flashbacks to the big date with Logan and Big T, in which Big T tells the story of Oedipus but mispronounces his name, and I think just the mispronunciation alone was enough for Logan to be like, I'm done, I'm out.
Logan's face during that entire story, you could just tell he was not feeling it at all. He said, this is awkward, I'm uncomfortable, and she's still laying beside me, and I hope she gets up.
Yeah. Oh, what?
You're telling me it's awkward to tell a story to someone that you're, like, spooning in the bed with about, like, this guy who ends up marrying and fucking his mom?
Yeah. That's
that's awkward.
Well, it depends on what furniture or appliance the mom was caught under, based on the videos that I've seen on the interwebs. See, Lauren, there's a lot of videos out now, and there's just search anything, you'll find it.
We're moving on.
But so, Logan essentially puts her in the friend zone. It's like, I only like you little bit. She likes me a lot. Yeah. We're friend zone now.
I don't even think he's friend zoning it. I think he's just done.
He would like to be done, but to be safe face, he's saying to the camera,
"Oh yeah,
we can
be
friends."
Yeah. So his loss, he's a dud.
Yeah.
I mean, like Lauren, you're just like, it's a great cast. I'm like, yeah, and Logan.
Yeah, but it is a great cast overall. You just have to cut out like one or two people, and then you have exactly what you want.
Well, yes, it's a great cast, and Logan.
And Logan. I was sort of hoping.
There's no way that dude comes back.
No.
I was sort of hoping.
You bring back Huey, Gabo.
Well, I don't think you bring back Priscilla.
I think they will.
They're going to bring back Priscilla.
He guaranteed it, but I mean, I didn't see what, I mean, in the history of recent challenge people you could bring back, I'm bringing back an Amber M before Priscilla.
Yeah, but I just feel like they hyped her up a lot more than they hyped up Amber M. Like, they hyped up Priscilla being like, she was the rookie that was balls enough to break up our strategy. She was the one who was balls enough to go against a champion and call her out. I know, but people don't.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
and you can tell that TJ was a Priscilla fan just based on how he let her leave.
They're all Priscilla fans, from what I can see.
But does TJ work in casting? Because according to his title at the bottom of the screen, it said handler. I'm just like, TJ's the host. Why you got a handler on the bottom of his cryon?
I know he definitely plays a part in terms of some of the challenges, and especially for the finals. He, like, when he says it's TJ's final, like, he plays a heavy hand in what the final actually consists of.
So he's John Kerhopper or whatever his name is from Survivor. But he's not.
He's not Jeff Probst.
But he's not Lindsay.
No. Not Jeff Probst. I mean, he hasn't mentioned TJ's final in a while, so that's been nice.
Oh, whew, thank goodness. So Amanda gets a Zoom call from her son and a friend, and we are reminded of the fact that Amanda is a COVID frontline single mom. And I thought it was cool. I like that whole exchange. So I think everyone gets like one call a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe they all get to have a one like call. Like usually in previous seasons, we would see like Corey calling home to his like 500 kids that he's had.
How awkward would it be, you know, do the "don't come in here"? You wouldn't use your one call for that?
Maybe that's why they don't show everyone.
Oh, sweet. Okay, there we go. I mean, come on, Devin, please.
But yeah, like as much as people like Amanda can be such a polarizing character for people, like you either love Amanda or like people hate her.
Yeah.
And but like these are some of the moments that I like truly like is why I back Amanda more times than not on these shows. Like She's playing for a good cause almost always. Like if it wasn't like the kid before then, it was like she had like a family member that was very ill that she was like, if I won, this money is going towards his treatments. Yeah. Like it's not even going to me. It's going to help family. So I like her, and emphasis on she is single.
Yes. I saw it earlier.
Despite
what
comments. The aftermath will say.
That's very unfortunate. I feel bad. Here's the deal. I've been watching Amanda since her Are You the One days, and just seeing her growth and development through seasons that she's been on the challenge and just seeing her right now, how can you not like her? I just think everything she's done thus far this season is so likable. And as Alex said, you might not have always been an Amanda fan, but how could you not be now?
Well, I mean, how could you not like her? I mean, of the available options, single without a kid versus single with a kid. I mean,
like her as a character. I'm not saying you have to go out on a date with her.
Maybe you do. Maybe that's the rules. Maybe this is a new show, Alex.
Well, then I'm down for that show then.
Okay. So we see TJ the handler. And he says, time to adapt, or someone does. That's all I wrote in my notes. No more pairs. It's individual. And it is the Diamond Dash.
Yeah. So Diamond Dash, you had to race down a trail and collect sledgehammers. You then have three options to go and try to obtain your code to unlock a box that gets your diamond. You then put your diamond in one of these three podiums where you can then join your new cell of ruby, sapphire, or emerald. And I know Matt Bischoff is somewhere going, man, I wish Alex was on last night to describe the challenges.
Yes. Like I was okay, there. I was just like, I nudged you a couple times. I was just like, Alex, you sure you don't want to do the podcast? Because I don't want to write down what this challenge is.
I couldn't even sit up last night. I wasn't getting on.
I love it. So well, you adequately, more than adequately described that. The three options once you did finish the first part of the challenge were the vision quest, looking through binoculars at a code, fitting in which you have to grab a box that that potentially fits through a slot. If not, you could force it through and break the slot so that no other boxes can go through there. Or and once you accomplish that, you have to scale a wall, and then touch and go. Was that the
where you had to basically do a scratch and sniff?
Yeah.
I hated that one.
That one was the worst. I mean, I'm obviously gonna pick the one where you have to grab the thing and stick the box through. That looks like the easiest one.
I was a little when I heard the description of the options, I was just like, oh fuck, scaling that wall. But then it was the easiest wall ever, and I'm just like, oh yeah, that's fitting in is the easy pick.
I mean, no shade on intelligence here on some of the cast members, but like if you're a cast member and you're running and you're seeing Nelson go to number two, he's the smart one right now.
Yeah.
Like you're letting Nelson be the smart one of all of you.
Yeah.
I feel like what happened though is as soon as someone saw someone go to a particular station, they just followed in line with that person. And that's
they went to option one because it was the closest.
Fucking lemmings. So yeah, I would never do this, like the scratch, like until someone figures out an easy scratch method and, like, you know, secretly passes it on to, you know, people that are going to go on the challenge in the future. We have never seen a scratch option that is easy in any way.
No, like, remember the last season when they had, like, scrape through during that, like, cage, like, you escaped the
night of insanity? That was not?
No, that was not. But, yeah it was, like, in that one, too, and I heard Amanda say they gave those people something to scratch with because, like, they were...
Eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, because, like, because they couldn't.
I would literally look at that and be like, okay, if I was stuck with that one, I'd be like, well, I'm just going to wait for everyone else to finish, and then I'll just go. They could time me out. It doesn't matter. I automatically make a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder how long they were actually stuck there for. Cause I just would never have wanted to get stuck with that portion of the challenge.
I don't think I saw a completely scratched answer.
No, I don't think you had to scratch all the way out. You know, like they didn't have to scratch the entire fort. They just had to find the spot that had the code.
Yeah. You just had to get your numbers at least.
I don't even think I saw a code.
Yeah. But anyway, like, so Johnny, and if you're on the challenge right now, you're doing this challenge, you have your emerald or your diamond or whatever.
It's obviously not an emerald because it could become one. And how shitty is that? Your diamond becomes a fucking ruby? Fuck that.
It downgrades. Yeah, yeah. It's like, but we had two minds in this of how people teamed up. You had Corey and Nelson that are like split up and like spread your alliance.
Yes.
Or you could be like the emerald group that was like, oh, we're all the friends.
Yes.
We were already in alliance. Let's all group up together. What mind would you be like if you had to make that decision?
I mean, I felt like the smarter play was to split up.
I thought so too. Like it worked out.
But when you make a super team of your friends, that's not a bad. I mean, like they could literally. Well, I would say that I know because that power, you can even infiltrate the agency. So mm-hmm. I was about to say they mm-hmm. could run the table. But I mean, but if so, you know, if Big T, you know, wins in the lair and then takes out Casey, then that's gonna take down the
right. So like I thought before I realized it was because they didn't have any spaces left. Like I thought Kyle joining your Ruby team was going to go in professional and be like, I'm literally going on this team to screw over Corey and he never has power. Like I thought he was going to do like his big, like that's exactly what he's doing. So it's like, no, I joined this team. I can keep an eye on him. I'm like, you can keep an eye on him from the Emerald group.
That team is fucked.
It is the Yellow Tribe on Survivor.
Yeah,
they're winning. At this point, they're the Ua Tribe.
But it was Kyle killed it all episode with his confessionals.
Fantastic. This is a good sign.
Ruby.
I was just like waiting for him to be like, Ruby, oh, fuck off with this, you know. But, okay, so it gets us our three teams ultimately. We get Nani, Josh, Casey, Devin, Tori, and Emmanuel make the Emerald team. The Ruby team is Emmy, Corey, Big T, Logan, Priscilla, and Kyle, even though Kyle thinks he's on the Emerald team. And Sapphire, which is Ed, Amanda, CT, Ashley, Nelson, and Bettina.
Yeah. I did like Nelson was first, followed by Josh, who, you know, wanted to start his own team. And then Ed was third, and Ed's like, I ain't going anywhere.
That's what I was going to point out. He decided to wait. And I think that's a great strategy deciding to do that. But I also say CT's move was fantastic.
Multiple moves.
Well, with Big T in particular, he didn't want Big T on his team at all. And he's like, yeah, this is your best interest. Go with Ruby and we're good. And she just ate it up and went with them.
Yeah, you have CT going, oh, I don't want any part of this. And then you have Big T going, I love that CT still has my back.
Or doesn't he? I don't know. But I'm going to listen to him.
Yes. No, he does not. I mean, hey, God bless everything CT did last season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But, I like the three. I like individual with the three tribes, teams, whatever, cells. I don't like cells. That's stupid. But whatever. Yes. And why are they still called the eight? Like the Cell and Power is still the agency?
Because they had to keep the theme.
Well, I mean, but they couldn't think like I felt like it should have been upgraded from like two to five, you know, like to like, you know, the commission, or, you know, maybe not the commission, because so something different, yeah. Like, different than the agency, because it's a bigger grouping.
Right. We'll workshop this. We'll come back next episode. Be like, this is what it actually should be called.
Well, I feel like it would have been, I feel like TJ would have called it something different, but they just ran the same video that they showed before for the deliberation.
Yeah.
So I think they're like, oh, he's already said it. Fuck it.
He's not coming back for a second take.
Yeah. He ain't here.
Yeah. He's gone. Gone. Yeah. Yeah. But okay, so it leads to the second part of the challenge.
Before that, oh no, what are you talking about? Oh yeah. Let's do the second part and then.
Yeah. So the second part is you had to break a bunch of fucking cinder blocks and then put them in a little counterbalance thing to raise your diamond and you win.
Badass cinder blocks, perhaps?
Some badass cinder blocks. And then you get this badass emerald or sapphire or ruby or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and it hoists up and you put it on this badass podium.
Yeah.
Ain't it badass?
Very, very, very great description, TJ. I appreciate that. So, and prior to that, you had to run with your sledgehammer to the podium so that we could get cool pics of you looking badass with your team for your new pictures.
Yeah. And then you have to think badass in order to get in. Who fought the most badass, it was Devin. Of course.
Yes. So, well, I mean, that made, like, he's just like, okay. It's, you know, like on Survivor, we, you know, when Jeff does the come on in and you know, and he goes over everything, and then what you don't see is a representative from each tribe gets to walk through the challenge and you know, figure out what strategy to employ and, you know, what shortcuts you could potentially take, you know, that on my season, that was my role on my tribe. And I feel like whatever cell or tribe or team Devin's on, that's his role.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like Kyle is also that same role, except he doesn't do it.
But he has the role, but he's like looking off into the distance at Devin. And he's like, he's just staring at Devin the entire time.
Yeah.
Going, we have a challenge now.
I think he could. Like, I think he's sneaky enough that he could figure that stuff. But he's like, I think he's just thinking about confessionals. He's just like, all right, if we don't try, we're losing. We'll get more airtime. What am I going to say about this?
How many times can I talk about how perfect the Emerald team is?
Yes.
And how I wish I was a part of them.
Yeah. So,
I wish I would be a part of them too. I mean, if you're out there and you want to win, that's the team that you want to be on currently. But you got to give kudos to Devin. Devin is, as we have said, badass, because figures out how to kind of rig the challenge a little bit in order for his group to come out on top, which I thought was great.
Yeah. You just lower the platform as to where everyone can help. And then, you know, and if you think about it, it's really on brand for Devin, because it makes less work for Devin by having everyone else participate more.
But like, why not
just pays less?
Why not go a step further and not even break the cinder blocks and just put the cinder blocks on top?
Because the cinder blocks have to go through the stuff.
Yeah, they still have to go in there in order for it to like actually work and for you to accomplish it. Because if they would have just brought it all the way down like they did, they could have just want it there, but obviously they still had to put the little tiny pieces within it.
Yeah, you just raise it was the right strategy.
Yeah, either way, work smarter, not harder. Devin's that's like his philosophy in life, and I respect it.
Yeah, which I will say for the Sapphire tribe, CT, Ed, and Nelson, they were killing it with the sledgehammer, and I think they were going much faster, but then Devin was saying, this is a smarter move, we're gonna do this, and that's why we're gonna kick your ass.
Well, Emerald destroys.
Yeah.
And we find out that it's going to be a girls elimination. And with that, it's time for a quick commercial.
Autumn is in the air. pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code Survivor.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary. The girls like to dress inviting. And as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code Survivor. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. Hey, we have a first-time viewer today. Welcome, Christina, and congratulations. You now know how to maintain your bush and to eat right for breakfast.
Oh, man.
So with that, God. Corey is getting morale up by telling people that they should trim their bush and eat a well-balanced breakfast that's keto-free, keto-friendly, soy-free, right? I missed the speech, but I know who didn't miss it. Kyle, and he hated it. And it was the beginning of one of his many delicious, tasty morsels of confessionals to bring us entertainment each and every week.
Yeah, we had that. I also loved the confessional beforehand where he's just like, the Emerald team's like almost perfect. Like the only weakness they have is you could say something mean to Josh and he'll cry for 30 minutes.
That was amazing. I loved that confessional so much because it's true.
Not this season. Earlier. Anymore this season.
Say that and then down the line we could see the meltdown again.
Well, I didn't see the remainder of the preview for the season.
We missed out.
Yeah, so we don't know. So we now learn that Logan is in the friend zone, but I don't even think he wants to be friends. And this is the point in which I decide officially that Logan is boring television. So
yeah. Extremely boring. He's not captivating TV at all. And I was hoping his leg injury was going to take him out this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Well, okay, so I have to ask, who is more boring, him or Jeremiah?
Jeremiah at least was like, yeah, an eliminate, like actually entertaining eliminations. Like Logan took out an entertaining person.
Yeah, I don't know. Jeremiah was kind of a dullard. But
they were both, yeah, like they're both, yeah, not getting called back.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think either of them gets the call.
No.
They had enough.
Tommy Sheehan, your stock's going up, brother. Get ready.
Hey, he basically stripped on TV for it. So
that is true. I mean, he has a little bit of a redemption arc as well, whereas these two were just duds.
Yeah, but he's still like married, and I don't know. I didn't understand that casting to begin with, other than to meet Fessy in a fall brawl. So, but it is now time for the Emerald City picnic, and Emmanuel very slyly protects Emmy. I like that. He was basically saying anything that he needed to make that happen, and it worked.
I mean, there are several people in there, though, that are, like, part of that, like, the Hot Sauce Alliance's majority of them, and they all see Emmy as a valuable number. But, like, I feel like they were just saying the name because they had to say the name. But yeah, Emmanuel did his work. I do wish we could have more to Emmanuel's story than just, oh, I'm here to protect Emmy. Like, we're not getting a lot of him. We're getting him being like, oh, I need to protect her.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think because you know, if you follow his Instagram and just the little tidbits of him that we've seen with his personality, he's a fun character.
Right.
And mm-hmm. And I think there's no way he doesn't come back. So just give us more layers to the onion.
That's what and I mean.
Also liked is they asked, would she ever come after them? And he was like, no, she won't say any of your names. Like, she'll try and protect you guys. So I think that was also beneficial. And they said, all right, cool. We don't need to worry about Emmy anymore. She's good to go.
Yeah. So then it falls upon Priscilla, the strongest girl from the weakest team, or do we go with just the strongest girl? And that would be Ashley.
I mean, for Nani, I understood what she was saying. Like, she was saying all of her confessionals are very game based. Like, I don't think she was trying to be personal with Ashley when saying like I wanted her out, but I feel like the way she saw Ashley is the same way she saw Amber. She was like, Amber beat me in a final. Yeah, I don't want her around. Ashley has beat me in a final and has won multiple times. I don't want to see her in a final. And she's not on my team right now. And they don't know all the dynamics on how the game will work. So it's in their interest because they think they can't be stolen from. They would like Ashley's the person to go for, maybe. Or do we want to take that shot, though?
Yeah. But at the same time, Ashley's not coming after Nani. She's not coming after Casey.
But they fail to see that. And then that's what Ashley's even talking about. I don't understand why no one wants to be in my alliance, because I have done nothing for them to see that I'm going to come after them at any point. I haven't said anything that they should feel that I'm against them.
Yeah, she's playing the CT role of, look, is like, I'm just over here. I'm not trying to bother anyone. Like, you know, I feel like we're friends. Just be my friend. I'm your friend.
Right. And like, I think Tori was actually a good voice of reason here for this case, because Tori's like, this is the first round that we're experiencing this layout. We don't know what
all the twists and
turns are going to be. It's better to like, yes, we have Priscilla as a target. Like, we should ultimately just go for the safer choice
until we know what
happens. And then we could try to figure out how do we take the big shot.
Because if you shoot your shot early and it misses, and then there's a twist, as in even the agency can be raided, we could be fucked, and that's what, you know,
ultimately happens.
Yeah, because the script could have been
well, like, it doesn't happen, but I had the potential to be.
Well, it could have, if they decided to go, if say they put in Ashley or something originally, and then she brought Priscilla down, maybe she does pick someone from the Emerald team to replace. But the fact that they didn't do that, I think, made Ashley more inclined to go back to her original group.
Yeah. So, let's see.
Nominations.
It's time for deliberations. And Ruby can't even wear the same color.
Yes.
For the record, I will give a little plausible deniability here for Team Ruby. When you're packing your clothes, and you know, you're like, unless they were color specific in what they told you to bring, you're probably bringing some black stuff. You're probably bringing some navy stuff. You're probably bringing, you know, maybe green's your color. Red is not a super popular color. I mean, like, you know, if I look at all of my t-shirts, you know, there's 4 red, 3,000 black, and 1,000 navy.
Right.
It's a lot easier to be... It's super easy to be team blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green, you know, as I said, just happenstance. It's just like, hey, green's my color. It works out. There, yeah. I don't see a lot of people going overboard and bringing a suitcase full of fucking red.
I ain't trying to bring a rainbow with me. But I do love Kyle's, like, joke to counteract Corey being so, like, serious about something so stupid. He's like, oh, you know, I just like to, you know, influenced by the winners, so if I wear green, I can be a winner too.
Just to dismiss everything he was saying.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you, Corey.
I appreciated Corey's attempt at morale boost. And I mean, because
it's an athlete in him.
Yeah, I mean, and he's, you know, he's a dad. He's a cool, like, I mean, a defeatist attitude will result in a defeatist result.
Oh yeah. And we see it in all other reality shows, like even in Survivor, where like when you're such in a defeatist attitude, you're going to consistently lose.
Yeah. As Sam says, Ashley was looking hot during deliberation. In my notes, I say Ashley's deliberation outfit was perfect. There is no way I would vote for her to go anywhere except out with me. So it was the correct outfit for the occasion.
I will point out, Corey did kind of get fucked in this scenario because him and Nelson decided to split up, and then Nelson got a decent team, and then Corey just got nothing basically to work with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, once CT was on board and then pushed away, I mean, like, that just everything came out Milhouse.
Yeah, because Corey has to be standing there saying, oh my god, this is awful, because he almost would have been better off just going with Nelson instead of splitting off, because he really got the short end of the stick.
Yeah, so you know
hindsight's 2020.
Yeah, it happens. So let's see, people are giving their reasons for not, you know, Priscilla gives her pitch, Ashley gives her pitch, and Emmy writes her speech, because English not her first language.
Very fair.
Does the world love Emmy at this point? Because I do.
Yeah, I like Emmy. I also like how she forgets that she definitely did play dirty on someone.
Oh, yeah.
But she's like, I have never done a bad thing in my life.
Yeah.
I'm this humble person.
Except to Nelson's girlfriend.
Yeah.
and my only friend I had in the house. But otherwise, no one.
But everyone seems to just forgive it because it's Emmy saying it. If anyone else says it, they'll be like, they're a piece of shit. But because Emmy says it, it's totally fine.
Well, I think CT said it best. Like, she's just so raw and like raw and honest about everything that you're just like.
Well, except not honest.
Well, yeah. But like, you know what? He's honest to him. He's just like, how can you not like her? Like, she's not going after me also, which is great.
she's great. Good TV. So Priscilla's our compromised agent, and then we get a lot of Amanda backstory. And once again, I'm thinking it's just because Ashley wasn't doing much, so they had to say something in this spot. And, you know, I mean, I guess just showing Ashley laying in bed doing anything isn't really forwarding the story for the rest of the season. You have Amanda's backstory, which is great television. And then once, you know, Ashley gives her speech in the lair, it kind of brings it all together.
Right.
So, I was cool with that.
We're in the lair.
What's that?
But now we are in the lair.
And yes, we're in the lair. Yeah. And Priscilla compromised. And we learned that the agent gets to pick their opponent in the lair. I don't think it was any surprise to anyone, even if Priscilla hadn't given the heads up to anyone.
Right.
It was going to be Ashley. You know, Casey has goosies. I have never heard that term for goosebumps, but I will probably work it into the vernacular.
Do you think Priscilla uses Manscaped? Because they all were saying she's got huge balls.
Oh, well, if she has huge balls, there's only one place to go, and that's manscaped.com, promo code Survivor. They love it when we do that.
So, do you guys think Priscilla made the right choice in picking Ashley, or do you think she should have gone with a more obvious one, Big T maybe? Or
I mean, Big T's the only person that has her back in the house.
Like, you don't know, none of them knew what the end result was going to be if you won.
Right.
So, like, it could have been just that you go back to your team. She wasn't gonna, I don't think it was a smart choice to attack your own group. So you're left to three people. You're not going to target Bettina because she's like your closest ally in the house at this point. Like, is she a good ally to have? Not really, because she's not going to give you power, but you're not going to attack your friend. So that leaves Ashley and Amanda. What gets you more street cred?
Or Casey.
I mean, I respect the move completely. I just was thinking if she wanted a chance to maybe stay, I think she could have picked somebody else. But she wanted to go big and bold, and she did, and she just didn't pull it out, which
and Ashley's eliminator record
isn't not great.
That strong in recent years. So go big. If she wins, it's a statement win.
If she loses, you've lost to a champion.
It's a rival that she has called out previously, so there is the animosity potentially fueler. And if she wins, you know they're bringing back Ashley Millionaire Mitchell again. Right. Say there's a rival season, you got a rival.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I guess so that brings us to the competition, which is Seek and Destroy. They each have 8 colored tires that are hidden under these mounds of sand. You have to dig them all out, put them on a pole. Then you have to run to this other pole that has a color sequence. Not in order, but it shows the color sequence. You then have to go back and reorganize all your tires in the right setup. First person to do it, get the check, wins. And guess what? The person who consistently gets the check and actually won.
I don't know if I remember the tires were colored. I mean, were they perhaps red, purple, green, red, yellow, red, purple, red, green, red, yellow, red, purple, green, red, yellow, red, purple. Oh, sorry.
I understood Nani's frustration there.
Oh yeah. She was not very happy. Cause the thing is, if you have one of your allies that jumps on board helping you remember the color, then everyone at that point is like, well, fuck it. I almost have to jump on board. Cause if I don't, then Ashley knows I wasn't rooting for her to win.
Yeah.
But yeah, because like you have this mindset of like, I feel like if I'm in their shoe, like obviously I'm going to be rooting for Ashley, like just because the connotation of rooting for a rookie over her if she comes back is not great. But
it's pretty.
I'm not going to help you win. Like you, like I'm someone also who's like, I can help guide you. Like I feel like Devin's someone like, I will help guide you. I'm not going to do it for you. Like, you need to win it on your own.
Yeah. I feel like it was a lot more lopsided than what we saw. And they were
I don't think Priscilla got all of her tires.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think they were just like, all right, Ashley's winning this. You know, there's pretty much no chance she doesn't. The smart, politically safe move is... red, purple, green, red, yellow. Yay.
I think Priscilla's strategy was kind of a little off too, because I think it takes so much longer doing the feet technique versus the arms technique. And I think she should have looked over at Ashley and saying, Ashley's going way quicker than I do. I need to change something up in order to catch up.
Yep. Yeah.
It was honestly, I think just her not trusting her upper body strength, because she knew that eventually I'm going to have to take all these tires off and keep rearranging them, that I think she was like, oh, maybe if I have stronger legs, I could just kick it out and like it'll be faster. But like once you're committed to it, you're just like, damn, I can't really change it at this point because my legs are already dead.
Yeah, wrong play.
Oh, well. I like her, though. I like her.
Me too.
So it appears as though all the vets are rooting for Ashley except for Nani. And I don't think that was the case. I feel like they all had similar feelings to Nani, but... I don't think Nani, like, you know, as on a personal level, dislike. I would like to. I love them both so much.
Same.
I mean, I think like Ashley's like the sexiest girl ever, and I think Nani is the cutest girl ever. And so I find myself in a prisoner's dilemma every time.
Old prisoner's dilemma. There you
Thank
go.
You.
And like.
I don't know if I worked that in correctly or not, but I'm gonna go with it.
Well, it's like with Nani, I think what Ashley takes offense with more is people like not even them like saying like we need to take her out for our game. It's her like people still saying in confessional like she's a snake. How can you trust someone like her? Where like really the only thing you would ever have to worry about Ashley like in previous seasons was like if she blows up on you. Like I never really felt like she was someone who stabbed you in the back. Outside of Hunter to win, you know, $500,000 extra dollars, which I mean, fine. Like, when your partner treats you like shit, then yeah, I'm going to take the money. Even if he treated me great, I would still take the money.
I'm the opposite of you on that.
Well, and that's the other thing too, Alex. That's the only thing they can reference when she's actually snaked somebody is what she did to Hunter. Everything else, they have nothing to back it up with.
Alex, why are you juggling your microphone?
Oh, because it kept falling over.
Okay. Just wanted to put you on the spot. So I thought it was a really cool moment with Ashley winning and just, yeah. I mean, like that's one of the reasons I watch reality television, like, you know, much like Jeff, who just cares about balance beam moments and not actual gameplay or anything like that. I like these feel good television moments. I mean, like they're special and you know, you don't see a lot of them on the challenge because, you know, it is so cutthroat and they, you know, I think they would all be a lot friendlier to one another if there wasn't alcohol every 3 days. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that you would still have conflict, but probably not to the extent that like you have seen in the past.
Yeah, because I feel like when you add a little alcohol, it's true serum for some people. So they're saying things they shouldn't, and that, you know, and then that carries over into the next day, and then that carries over into the competition. And so I don't know. Maybe I would give them alcohol all 3 days, just, you know, for a fucking shit show train wreck every fucking 90 minutes every week.
So. I do have to say, too, for Ashley as well, when she was called out, she was very, very calm and didn't freak out or panic at all. And I think that also helped her going into the elimination, because I think sometimes she gets in her own head. And this time she was calm, cool, and collected and just said, I'm just going to go do this and I'm going to go win it.
Yeah.
She knew she was going down.
Right, but even so, even if you know and you hear your name,
she had her head last season.
Gets flustered sometimes, yeah. And she didn't get flustered this time, and I think that helped her stay calm.
Yeah, yeah, she was definitely in her head last season.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
So, so Ashley wins, and plot twist: you can go to any cell, even the agency. And once again, Kyle, with the line of the show, you've got what it takes to be a Ruby. Which I feel is code for it's a low bar.
Yeah. It's like, don't actually come here. Yes,
you do not want
to
be here.
We didn't even want to anyway.
Right, exactly.
I promise you don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
Which, again, loved his confessional word, like, what I love about this twist is, like, if you just so happen to be on a bad team, it's sort of like it's the skull without being the skull, which is better, where it's just like, I hate the group that I'm in. I don't know how the end result will be. Like, ultimately, I think they're going to, in the final, be brought back into doing like pairs again of men, like just duos of a man and a woman. But in this moment, Kyle's like, I hate the team that I'm in. The only way I can get taken out is if someone steals my spot, which who's going to steal my spot, or I go down.
Yeah.
And then I get to call out someone, so I can call out whoever I think is the weakest.
Yeah.
And now I have a new spot.
Yeah. And Kyle has to know that he will be called, like, of the available options of targets to go after, Kyle's on the higher end of go after.
Right. Like, he doesn't have, like, no one, like, back to what I was saying at the beginning of this podcast, like, no one in this setup is ever going to call out CT. No, no one's ever going to say, I want CT down in this elimination.
Yep.
Same thing with Casey. Like, I think that's the man and the woman that are set up the best for this type of format.
And I'm cool with that. So, but like, you know, when you see the B-roll shots they show weekly, you see Nelson working out, you see Corey working out, you see Josh working out.
Kyle's sleeping.
Yeah.
He's laying by the pool.
Yeah.
He's enjoying himself.
Yeah, he's thinking through what he's going to say in his confessionals. That's why he's so good at them.
He's thinking about how he can get Devin to agree to be the godfather for his kid.
Yeah, and well, and Devin's checking out pizzas and whose initials are on which ones.
Yes.
Smart play. All right, so Ashley stays Sapphire. I think it's the right move.
Oh, yeah.
And based on the first half of the preview for the second half of the season, looks like some fun stuff.
We see some arguments. We see some good challenges. Hoping that we continue the trend of not, this is the first episode now where I think a bomb wasn't part of the like the terminology of a challenge or an elimination. I'm stoked.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I think it's going to be coming shorter, like very, very soon.
Wow.
Yeah, you might only get one or two layoffs in an episode. I think it's coming back.
Okay. Well, I will be here if and when it does. So with that, if you like the show, please rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to the show. Click the thumbs up on YouTube. Rate and review Reality NSFW 5 stars. Tell us you love us. If you don't love us, just go away. Don't do 1 star. It's just a dick move. No one forced you to be here. So if you didn't like it, I apologize. I'll send you an autographed picture and then go away forever. But if you really, really like the show, become a patron. Go to adfreensfw.com. That is adfreensfw.com. You get added to the secret Patreon group. We do a weekly Q&A. That is my favorite podcast each and every week. We're covering Australian Survivor and more. We have game night, all kinds of fun stuff, and more to come. So try it for 1 month. No one there is being held hostage. If you like, if you try it and don't like it, let me know. I will send your money back. Try it 1 month at adfreensfw.com. Also, if you want a really cool t-shirt, go to johnnyfairplay.com. No H in Johnny, JONNYFAIRPLAY, johnnyfairplay.com. Get yourself a t-shirt. They're awesome. And get yourself a cameo, cameo.com/johnnyfairplay. When we finish this, I am knocking out. I just got, are you ghosting Ben Lady? You have 2 hours to complete their request. Well, along with Ben Lady and 9 others, I will be doing cameos the second we're done here. So with that, thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Johnny. Oh, that's me. We'll see you next week, but after a word from these sponsors.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, B BLUECHEW.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.